Studies show that girls approaching adolescence become dramatically less self-assured, and these feelings last through adulthood.
Today on Real Family Talk, we'll speak with a woman who is determined to build girls' self-esteem. Join us.
Y-Pulse, a polling firm that focuses on Generation Z and millennials, surveyed more than 1,300 girls ages 8 to 18 on the topic of confidence. The results were dramatic. There was a 30% drop in confidence during puberty. The number of girls who said they were not allowed to fail rose from 18% to 45% from the ages of 12 to 13. That's a 27% increase in just 1 year. Girls under 12 shared that they make friends really easily. They can go up to anyone and start a conversation. However, by the age of 14, they reported, they say, "I feel like everybody is so smart and pretty, and I'm just this ugly girl without friends." These are very sad statistics.
The Dove Self-Esteem Fund also reports that 7 in 10 girls believe they are not good enough or do not measure up in some way, including their looks, performance in school, and relationships with family and friends.
Here to discuss this most critical issue is Tamara Horst. Tamara is an author and speaker who serves as Assistant to the President for Communications and Women's Ministries Director for the Pennsylvania Conference of Seventh-day Adventists. Her latest book is titled Enough, Discovering a God Who is Enough When You're Not. Welcome, Tamara.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Tell us, what's happening with our girls, especially as they transition from childhood to their teens?
You know, I think that this has always been true, that girls go through this transition period, and there's something called hormones and the change. And Willie, I know that you have a daughter and a wife, so you're probably familiar with that thing that happens in a woman's brain and everything during hormonal times. But just think about the teen years when hormones are just huge and just rushing in, and it just changes everything that's going on inside of her head. They've actually found that test scores change. A girl's science and math scores go down. Her IQ tests drop somewhat during this time period. It just changes everything about a girl, especially how she sees herself.
Well, then, so what is the solution? Because this is a normal part of life, and this is something that girls and women have to go through. So what are we supposed to do as women to be able to handle these changes? And how do we as mothers help our girls, or even fathers, our girls handle what's happening in their bodies and the fact that it is creating some issues with confidence and self-esteem and the way we view ourselves?
Really good question, because the way that we view ourselves as teenagers often impact how we see ourselves as adults. And so those feelings of not being enough, of having to try harder, of not being allowed to fail, of having to do everything perfectly, follow us into adulthood. And actually, Willie, your role as a father is so crucial to a girl's confidence.
That's right.
When she has a father that is speaking into her life and helping her to believe that she's beautiful and that she has what it takes, you will find a woman to be so much more confident. And moms, I hear from moms all the time, you know, I tell my daughter she's beautiful. I tell her that, you know, she's smart, that she can do this, that she can accomplish. But girls are not learning just from what we say. And I truly believe that we need to affirm and encourage not just their beauty, but their characteristics, their intelligence, their capabilities, their gifts, and their talents. But we have to be careful of how we talk about ourselves, because girls are hearing how women talk about themselves and learning, this is what girls say. This is how a woman talks about herself. even in just little things of, you know, mom doesn't want to go out of the house without makeup, or mom looking in the mirror and saying, ah, you know, I look like this, or I'm fat, or, you know, I have a few extra pounds, or getting a compliment and just shrugging it off. We are teaching girls how to talk about themselves. And so as adults, we need to listen to ourselves, and we need to speak more kindly to ourselves. And that's also going to impact our daughters.
What I'm hearing you say, Tamara, is that it's not so much not only what we say to our daughters, but how we behave, the essence of our persons, who we are, what we do, how we refer to ourselves, so that right. we position ourselves in a place where we are modeling the kind of behavior we want our girls to model as well, and to be kind to themselves, because we're human beings.
Yeah, you know, I also want to pick up on something that she said, and I appreciated that you addressed Willie and spoke about the fact that it's so important for fathers to convey this message to their daughters. And I thought that was very powerful. Tell us some more about your book and what you say in your book, because there was something that you talked about where you were saying that there's some lies that we believe. Talk to us a little bit about that. What are these lies and where did they come from?
So it's not just hormones that are impacting us. You know, the Bible makes it very clear that we have an enemy. And John 10:10 says that he is out to steal, kill, and destroy. And Peter tells us that he wants to devour us like a roaring lion. Those are pretty strong words: steal, kill, destroy, and devour. And we don't live like it. I know I don't live like it. I didn't get up in the mirror this morning and look in the mirror and go, wow, today I'm going to have an enemy who's going to be out to steal, kill, destroy, and devour me all day long. Yeah. And yet, all day, we are told, you know, he is the accuser, he is a liar, and he lies to us about who we are. He longs for us, I believe, to believe that we are not who God says we are, and that we don't have what it takes to do what God has called us to do, and that God is not who he says that he is, and that God will not do what he says that he will do for us. And so we are in a battle, and that battle is out to destroy how we see ourselves and how we see God. And so we need to start looking at the lies that come. That's what I call them, the lies. And they're really an attack of the enemy who wants us to believe that we're not enough. And for everyone, those lies will look differently. But as you start really looking and listening to what you're thinking and what you're saying to yourself, you may start identifying a few lies that are just predominant through your whole life, that you're constantly hearing just something. Like for me, for instance, one of the lies that I believed for a long time was that nobody would want to be my friend, that nobody would really like me, and that, you know, I just needed to stay busy in the background because I wasn't going to be really wanted in the conversation. And I could recount story after story from the time I was a little girl all the way through, you know, my young adult years, of ways that the enemy was speaking that into my life. And I believed it. And finally, you know, my son Zachary said to me one day, he said, "Mom, why do you think like that? Everybody wants to be your friend. You're so cool," you know? And so I started telling myself a different story and started recognizing that God had given me this gift of relationships with people. I can be a really great friend, a really great encourager and affirmer, and the enemy doesn't want me to live like that.
That's right.
So he's lied to me about that so that I don't live out who God wants me to be.
Yeah.
Telling yourself a different story. That
Absolutely.
Is so powerful, and we're going to talk more about that in our next segment. Stay with us.
Welcome back. We've been talking with Tamara Horse about a very important topic about girls' self-esteem. Tamara, you were talking about the lies that are perpetuated in the lives of young women. And what I'm hearing you say is that this is really a spiritual battle. It
Yes.
is Satan, the deceiver and the accuser of the brethren, who is not only sending these negative messages to young women so that they become women who are not self-assured, who don't know
Right.
who they are, and who are always second-guessing themselves, so that anyone can deceive them. Anyone can make them just do what they want them to do because they're not sure about who they are. And that is a spiritual battle.
It is.
Yes. Also, I just simply want to say it's a part of the great controversy between good and evil in the universe. And there's evil in the world, but God is also in the world, and He created us, and He created us to be like Him. He created us to have purpose. He created us to make a difference in our world, in our environment, and that difference needs to be a positive, impactive difference, what God created every young woman to be. And that is something that as parents, we have to convey so they can live in their purpose.
Absolutely. You just got it. You know, I have often told people The Great Controversy is more than a book on my bookshelf. I have a book called The Great Controversy on my bookshelf. It's the life that we live every single day. And we need to live like it. We need to recognize that we have an enemy out to destroy us, and we need to be watching for it. And so we need to be recognizing what we're thinking about, taking every thought captive. You know, the Bible tells us to do that. And that, you know, we can be renewed by the renewing of our mind. We can be changed by the renewing of our mind. That's really what happens, is it's a battle in our thinking and who we're going to believe. And so telling yourself what God says about you, reminding yourself that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, that God designed you. You know, when we were created, God intentionally created us to have the unique gifts and talents and abilities that every one of us had. I think that He took great delight in designing each one of us very intentionally and wants us to delight in it. But that impact that you're talking about, the enemy doesn't want us to have it. And he will do anything to keep us from making that impact, having that purpose that God calls us to, because he knows what will happen if we live like it. If we live believing that God created us, designed us on purpose, has a role for us to play, and we live that out trusting God, we will change our part of the world, and the enemy does not want that to happen.
Absolutely. So, Tamara, tell us a little bit more about your book and how you hope this book will help someone who is telling themselves these lies, or how can people change this story, their stories?
So the book is really my journey. You know, I grew up as that insecure kid and just didn't believe that I had what it takes to do anything. And even after I was having success in my ministry, writing books and getting opportunities to speak, you know, the battle was just so great that I would continue just to beat myself up. And so there have been different things that I've learned along the way. And the number one thing is just to remind myself daily, moment by moment, if I have to, that God loves me, just me. He loves me. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to prove myself. I don't have to earn it, accomplish it. God loves me. That's what drew me to him in the first place. The second thing is recognizing that the battle is real, that we do have an enemy out to destroy us. The other thing is that, you know, with this whole thing with enough, I think that what spurred my whole idea of writing this book is that women don't believe that we're enough and that we're trying so hard all the time to be enough. And suddenly it clicked for me that God wasn't asking me to make myself enough. He would do that.
I love
that. He wanted me instead to take my not enoughness, and when I feel like I'm not enough, draw me to him, lean on him. Those moments where I stepped out and done something that was way bigger than I could do myself, the times when I knew I couldn't, I didn't have what it takes, but instead of beating myself up, I trusted God that he was calling, that he would help me to do it, have been amazing moments in my life that have grown my confidence, grown me as a person, and I have seen God do amazing things, which have deepened my walk with him as well. So I think it's, you know, reminding yourself all the time that God loves you, remembering that we have an enemy, listening to what you're telling yourself, because we are harder on ourselves than anybody else. And God does not want us to beat ourselves up. He wants us to treat ourselves with the value that of the price that he paid for us. So we do God a disservice when we beat ourselves up instead of saying, no, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And then taking on things that are bigger instead of, you know, cringing back. Hewlett-Packard did a poll. They wanted to find out why women weren't in the top leadership. And I found this astounding because they learned that it wasn't their system. They were afraid it was their system that wasn't allowing women to go to the top. They were finding that it was women limiting themselves. If a woman didn't have 100% of the skills needed in the job description, they wouldn't apply because they just felt like they didn't have what it takes. However, men, much more confident than women, and they have their own battles. And Willie, I'm sure that you know that, that men have their own insecurities and battles. But men, if they had at least 65% of what was being asked for, they were like, ah, I can do that, you know, and they would apply for the job. And so men did the best promotions instead of women. We limit ourselves when we see ourselves as not enough and we don't trust God to do what he's promised to do and help us to accomplish what he's called us to do.
Yeah, absolutely. I often tell people, do not disqualify yourself. You know, that's exactly what you're saying, that we may not even attempt to apply or think that we're qualified, but just don't disqualify yourself. And there's something also that you said that's very critical in the messages that we say to ourselves. Our brains believe what we tell it. And so if we tell ourselves that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and I love that text, it's one of my favorite texts to share with people, to share with myself, to share with children, to remind ourselves that we are fearfully and wonderfully made and that God does love us. And it helps to counteract the negative messages that we're bombarded with consistently every single day. And so we want to speak a little bit more with you about that and how the societal messages are impacting the way we view ourselves as women.
We've been talking with Tamara Horst, and we'll be right back after a short break. Stay with us.
So we're back with Tamara Horst speaking about girl self-esteem. So Tamara, we have a few questions that came in from some of our viewers. How can I help my daughter to develop healthy self-esteem? Just give us a few pointers on that.
Yeah, so it's that is really a challenge. And I know that parents really want to speak into their daughter's lives and they try affirming her and telling her things. But it seems like, you know, they're just like, oh, you know, that's just mom, that's just dad. They have to say nice things. So there are other ways that you can also help. You can give her opportunities to do things that she's good at. You can help her to develop friendships, giving her the opportunity to be where there will be friends that will be good friends that will also help build her self-esteem instead of the hard friends. One of the things that I really like to do is to coach, and that's just asking open-ended questions, helping a girl to think for herself. I think that if you can equip her with that tool, pointing out, you know, is that a lie? Is that what God thinks about you? Is that really how other people see you? Kind of challenging the thoughts and the battles, getting her to think for herself. I think that that's one of the greatest gifts that we can give another person is instead of just telling them, because it's really easy for them to say, that's just mom and dad, but instead to start causing them to think for themselves. You know, we have an enemy out to steal, kill, destroy, and devour. Who do you think is speaking this into your life right now? Is it God or is it the enemy? And then I think it's important that parents don't get frustrated or give up, because I don't know about other parents, but there were moments where I felt like that nothing I was doing as a parent was clicking and that my kids weren't getting anything. And then later down the road, you start seeing it and they're like, oh yeah, this is true. This is true. And so they were just processing it along. So helping your girl, being that model too, we said that earlier about how you talk about yourself. And I think that fathers that really pour into their daughters, you know, taking them out on a date night. I recently heard a dad that his daughter got dressed up. He got dressed up. He had flowers for her, took her out, showing her that she is a woman, that she's beautiful and that she's valued will also help to protect her from looking for that value from boys.
Absolutely.
That's so beautiful. You know, I remember that Willie used to have a Sunday date with our daughter. And what was it that you used to do?
Well, I did it for both our kids.
You did it with both, yeah.
And we have a son. And so whenever we were home, and that was at least a couple of times a month, when they were growing up, I would take out Jessica and we would go to breakfast to wherever she wanted to go. I wasn't picking the place. It was allowing Jessica to pick the place and to decide where it is she wanted to go. And just to spend some time listening to her life and talking with her and letting her know that what she had to say was important. The fact is, I didn't even have to say what you have to say is important. The fact that I said, hey, that's today is your breakfast day and we're going to go wherever you want to go and eat whatever you want to eat. That in itself conveys to your daughter that she's valuable, that that you value her opinions and her likes and tastes, and whatever she wants to do, you're willing to do.
Yeah, and I think what was really important, not to steal the time, but was that she would always pick McDonald's, and that was not Willie's favorite place to go. But I love the fact that you never said, oh, you don't want to go to McDonald's. You know, we could go to a fancier restaurant. So it's so important what you're saying about letting them think for themselves and leading them to make some choices and to be able to distinguish between truth and error. But you said something else during the break, and I want you to mention it. You said not only is it important to distinguish the lie, but there's something else that we need to learn to do to build self-esteem in girls and women.
That's right. We can't just say, oh, that's a lie. We have to then tell ourselves what is the truth.
That's right.
And because your brain, every time, for instance, you look in the mirror and you say, I'm fat. Then the next time you look in the mirror, your brain remembers that and says, oh, a mirror, what did happen the last time? Oh, I'm fat. And so you say that again and you create these roots in your thinking, just deep and bad at ruts, so that every time that you see a mirror, you go, oh, I'm fat. And so now you're saying, okay, I recognize that's a lie. You know, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm not fat. I'm not ugly. I'm not worthless. But now you have to change those paths in your brain and start telling yourself the truth. And for me, one of the ways that I started doing that for myself is I just started repeating scripture, because it's hard to just go, oh, wow, yeah, I'm beautiful. I'm great. You know, but instead I started telling myself scripture and I started thinking, what would God say to me? What gifts and talents did God give me that I can affirm in myself, you know, and not as a pride thing? Because I think that we're afraid of that. We're afraid that it's a pride thing if we say, oh, I'm really good at this, I'm really good at that. But that's not. That's being grateful for the gifts and the abilities that God has given you. And so living with that kind of confidence, God has created me to do this. And so, you know, the results are up to him, but I'm going to be obedient and doing it. And so telling yourself the truth. For instance, I shared earlier that one of the lies that I believed that was that nobody would ever want to be my friend. So I had to start to say, telling myself, no, people would want me to be would want to be my friend. They would want to talk to me. They would want me to listen to them. They would want me to care for them. They would want to go out. And as I started telling myself that, then I started following through with the action, inviting people to get together, contacting people to see if they wanted to hang out, go out for lunch or something. And so it takes recognizing the lie, telling yourself the truth, and then following through with action.
Excellent.
And sometimes that action, even when you're scared and you're thinking, I am really not sure,
you're
doing it anyway, and it will continue to build your confidence because this is a process.
Absolutely.
We're never going to get to the place where we arrive and go, woo, perfect.
That's right.
It's always going to be a battle because we will always have an enemy until Jesus comes.
That's right.
Absolutely.
You know, it's so important what you've been saying, and I just want to say here as we get ready to close that the church community needs to be able to affirm women in that way and change those messages. Here's what we know that God says in the Bible. He says, I praise you, the Bible is saying, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. And God wants us to know that that's how he values each one of us.
Thank you for watching Real Family Talk. And thank you for being with us, Tamara. Join us again when we'll share more about strengthening families and inspiring hope. See you next time.